Hey, everybody. It is another episode of the PC Bombcast Presents, a pop culture comic pod. You may hear some noise in the background, and that's because my daughter's playing Fortnite and killing people with a cat-shaped thingy bopper. So if it gets a little loud, it's okay, and I apologize. But what you're going to hear in this episode is a longtime friend and first-time guest, author, artist, all-around spiritual and cool guy, Daniel Moeller. Daniel has a new comic that he's putting out himself called Psychonaut Presents. He's also the author of several spiritual books like Shamanic Kabbalah. I don't know how he pronounces it. He pronounces it probably accurate, and I would just say Kabbalah. But anyway, he comes on here and talks about the process of how he came to getting back into wanting to draw and doing his own comic and working with publishers and self-publishing and things like that. It's a pretty fun episode. It's a really solid episode. Dan lives in Kansas City. How I know Daniel is because, and you'll hear us reference Aaron a lot on this episode, Aaron Conway, one-time guest, super long-time friend. Go check out Aaron Conway, comma, author on Facebook, and you can find him on Amazon and order his book and stuff like that. So check that out. You also hear us reference Jim Ousley and Ben Sawyer of Butcher Queen quite a bit. And then just to tie it all together, there's a story I talk about when Aaron came on here and I got him shit-faced from whiskey flights. That was at the Beer Sauce Shop in St. Peter's location. Now with the St. Sunset Hills location and soon to have another location. So anyway, that's about all the stuff we talked about. It was a really fun episode. It was really great to catch up with Daniel. I have not seen him in a long time. So it was pretty cool. I hope you guys get out of it what I got out of it. So enjoy it and read some more comics and even create some comics. Do some drawings. That's all. Here comes the bomb. Down to draw right now? Is that what you're up to?
I'm actually just taking some notes for my next supplement of Psychonaut Presents.
Okay.
So, yeah, just scripting some things out right now. But I'm always doing that. That happens every second of every day.
Every time an idea comes in.
Meetings at work, I'm just like...
Well, normally I would chit-chat just a little more, but because you started off with that, I'm going to say we're going to jump right into it.
Okay,
and so that means, so for those that are not accustomed to me starting that way, I will say I am back. And this is a special episode of the Pop Culture Bombcast, which we so affectionately call the Pop Culture Comic Pod. For all those that don't know, that's our spinoff episodes where we do talk mainly about comics. We're going to get into some other stuff during this episode, but it will be a lot of comic book based stuff because I have with me right now, full-time Kansas City resident, long-time friend, and I'm not sure what the actual numerical measurement for the word prolific is, but I would dare say of late, a prolific creator of content and writer.
Wow, I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, you put out a lot of stuff, and this would be Daniel Moeller, who is, we're going to get into what he is an author and an artist of here in just a bit, but Daniel and I go back because we share a... common friend, you a long time friend, and me a long time friend, but you double me in the friendship with one time guest and good buddy Aaron Conway, who's been on here, who's had the Timberhaven books, so he was on here for that. And I'm gonna say, hey, it's not an indictment on Aaron, but I can already tell you that this episode's gonna go much better. Not that Aaron was a bad guest, but I made the mistake of taking him out and buying him two whiskey flights before we came and did the episode. And I'm not going to say he was a bad guest. I'm going to say the combination of guest and host being completely trashed off of whiskey was a problem.
Well, I hate to tell you, but I've already been a step or two ahead of you in that department.
Look, so that's okay. Apologies. That's okay. Like I said, we did flights. So we did two different samples of five before we came back and drank for the podcast.
Yeah, he told me he was already kind of feeling like hangover levels of
Yeah, it was a shit show.
And then you guys were drinking more and went right into the podcast. And he was like, I had to do readings, man. Have you ever done readings like that? Like, no way.
You know what, though? It worked out good. The readings, I actually think, was the best part because it allowed him something to focus on. I mean, so often when you're in the middle of these conversations, and I know that you've already done a couple of these, and you've done some other things, people discount how hard it is to not necessarily have a great conversation, but recall and pull up information pertinent to whatever you're talking about on the fly and not misspeak, not miscite something, and not... You know, and when you're already a little nervous or already, like in this situation with AC at the time, when you're already, you're so conscious of what's going on because of this new thing you've put yourself out there, that makes it tough. Even when you're sitting with one of your best friends who you've been drunk with more times than we could count, you know?
Right.
So that's tough.
When you get a microphone in front of you, man, that's a whole different story.
That's right. But as I brought it up here just a bit ago, this is the Comic Pod, and we're essentially here for the main reason, because of Psychonaut Presents. But that's not necessarily everything that is Daniel Moeller. That's probably that is definitely the most recent thing. But you've done. I want to go back before that and what kickstarted you into becoming a writer, because that's what you were first, a writer first. And you've got a handful of books now, 2-3?
Yeah, I got a few out there. Actually, I didn't want to become a writer at first.
Okay.
I went to school to be an artist. That's what I always wanted to be, was a comic book artist. And I remember somebody telling me when I was in college, the last thing you want to do when you want to become an artist is to go to college, to go to art school.
Yeah.
Because if there's anything that's going to tear down your ego and make you humble... But I was always just like interested in telling stories. I mean, I grew up, you mentioned Aaron Conway, who's a brilliant writer. I'm going to endorse him 1,000,000%. So I'm going to take the time to do that because his mind is amazing. I got the like good fortune of growing up with this guy out in the woods, no less, in the Ozarks. I mean, our imaginations were always just running wild, and just telling stories was like always the most important thing to me. So whether that was, you know, writing or drawing, it didn't really matter. It was all just kind of clumped together. But the plan was, when we were kids, is that Aaron was going to be the writer, Stan Lee, and I was going to be the Jack Kirby, the artist.
Well, hopefully your relationship would end better than theirs did, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing good with that so far. But
So that's a good side question, and I want to do it before we forget. I don't want to put a pin in it. I want to get into it now. Have you guys talked about tag teaming something like that now that you're really, really drawing?
Yeah. We tried for years to keep it going, but I just never had the chops. I mean, really, it was totally just insecurity. Like, writing is one thing, but drawing's like putting your dirty underwear out for everybody's show.
It's a lot like stand-up comedy. You're being judged pretty hard. Now, you are as well as writing, but you know as well as I do that 50% of the people that say they're going to read your stuff don't. But everybody will look at the art. They just all will look at the art.
Exactly. We've tried 1,000,000 times over the years to kind of get that back up and going, but it just so happens we had a conversation. You're the first one to know that, and I hope he's okay with me talking about this, but we are going to do a short two-story supplement in my issue 3 of Psychonaut.
Awesome.
So I'm already done with issue 2 in terms of drawing it out. I just got to get the coloring done and the editing done on it. But issue 3, we're going to have a little two-pager. It's like harkening back to our childhood dreams all over again. He said when he was writing the script, he was like, oh my God, it just felt so amazing. I was like, just even talking about this just got me excited. So.
He and I, a few years ago, looked at, and this is going to sound like I'm giving him a hard time, but I'm really not. He and I, a few years ago, were going to do a comic strip together. And we talked about it, and then nothing happened. And then one day I was like, you know what, I'm going to send him a bunch of stuff, some ideas floating around in my head. And I sent him a bunch of stuff, and he replied, okay, if we're going to do this, I don't really want to do, because I was talking about doing, essentially we were talking about, and I hope this isn't have anything to do with your story, but essentially we were talking about doing a story about a character stuck in a library, and he can go into each book and do a different kind of adventure. And it was just going to be a comic strip, not a full-grown comic. So we talked about that, and I was like, well, what better library than a library in the town of Timberhaven?
Yeah.
And so I sent him that, and I sent him some ideas, and he's like, you know, I play in that sandbox too much. Here's my thoughts, and here's what I want you to do. And he gave me a list of all these things he wanted me to draw, and to not necessarily I don't think I was auditioning, but he was like, this is what I need to see you so I can go from there, and I'll send you a script. And I was like, well, and this is like this is me not picking on him, but I was like, well, I don't want to just draw a script. I would love – I like writing as well. I was a creative writing minor at one time, and I was like, I want to do that too. I don't want to just draw something. And but so we just never came back to it, and it wasn't like – like I said, I hope I never gave him the impression that he turned me sour on it. It's just and being living in two different cities and having completely different ideas, it wasn't a way to just start something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard. Collaboration's just hard in general. I mean, that's he's my best friend in the world, and we've tried collaborating so many times, but it's just you just gotta be at the each person's gotta be in the right space at the right time, and that's why I've just decided to kind of dive in on myself. And just do this on my own. But no, I feel like the energy's there and we're clicking, and he actually is writing the story full. Like, we're doing this, like, we decided from the outset, let's do this, like, not quite full Marvel style. I'm not going to just do layouts and then hand it to you. I just give me a full script and give it to me and just let me do whatever I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
And he was perfectly, man, he pushed out a script faster than I think he made his vows when he got married. Boom. That sucker was in my inbox by the next day.
In his defense of his wedding, he'd been thinking of the comic book a lot longer. So
he sure, yeah. Yeah, about 30 years.
Well, then let's dial back, because I believe, sure. And trust me, I do. Most of my research involves getting drunk during the podcast. That's the research that goes into it, and we talk with whatever. Since I know you, I didn't have to do much. I just freshened up. Now, but correct me if I'm wrong, but Red Mass was your first book.
Yes.
So what led from wanting to do drawings and illustrations to, you know what, I'm a writer now?
Yeah. Well, when I write, I naturally am just... So my writing process is actually drawing, really. Whenever I'm writing, I'm almost doing, I can't think of it, but just as the word for it. But when you do a screenplay and you do the...
Storyboards.
Thank
you. Yeah.
So I do a lot of that whenever I'm writing anyway. And I draw character sketches. I mean, it's almost like I'm getting ready to make a comic book, but I just never take that leap because I just didn't have the confidence. And so it was already kind of there, but I had just pushed it back for so many years, and my writing was really becoming constrained over time, and you could tell. I mean, I spent the past, after Red Mass, you know, I put out a few other things, but I've actually been working on a novel for like 8 years that just, I can't get it right because the visuals just aren't matching what I want, but my writing style has always been very imagery driven anyway, but... It wasn't just until a couple of years ago, my wife actually got me for Father's Day the entire correspondence course of the Joe Kubert School of Comic Book Art, which is something I always wanted to do. That's where I wanted to go after high school. That's like I that's the path I always wanted to take, and circumstances just didn't allow. And that corresponding with finding the Cartoonist Kayfabe YouTube channel with Ed Piskor.
That was a big one. That was a big one for you.
Huge. I mean, both of those things together, just like, I don't know what it did. It was just like a shot of.
Well, missing two parts of the pie that created it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And suddenly I've been on speed ever since. Like, my wife said that, like, everything in me just dialed up to 11, and every spare moment, like, I'm not tired at all anymore. I'm just like, as soon as work is done, I'm just boom. I'm at the drawing table. I'm scripting at the desk. I'm working constantly all the time. And my passion for it never left, but I don't know. It was just, I think it was that and kind of turning 40, 41.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, you know, yeah, that old age is coming soon. And I have a bucket list of shit that I want to complete.
And you're actively starting it.
Yeah.
With this.
Yeah. And you know, and I still enjoy writing. I mean, I will, I'm sure I've got like another book or two inside of me, you know, that I want to complete. In fact, I know I do. I just, right now, this has got to happen.
Well, just by listening to it, I've got a good thought on that, but I go back to the Joe Kubert. I dated a girl when I lived in Springfield. This would have been after, would it be before? No, this would have been before you and I ever met. This would have been before I ever moved to Kansas City. And for my birthday or Christmas, I can't remember, she bought me the introductory book to the Joe Kubert School of Art, and it was signed by Joe Kubert, and I have it over there somewhere still. Yeah, it's awesome. Nice. It's nice. Awesome. That was a Caveman Comics purchase that she did in conjunction with one Josh Roberts. She made it happen. So
there we go. Yeah, Josh Roberts is the man.
Yeah. But you know, it's interesting that so the way you went about writing. And I want to talk about your other writings too here in a second. But this book you say you're hung up on is the way you go about it. You go about it from a visual standpoint, almost like you're imagining the story kind of as a movie or as a comic book first. So it could be the block was just you weren't at a maturity level as an artist yet. And now that you're getting there, man, you may find that when you go back to that book, it may be like 2 weeks and you finish that damn thing. You never know.
It's actually, you're correct about that, because over Christmas break, I had some time off from work, and I told my wife, you know what, I'm going to tackle that book that I've been working on, and see if I can't script it in comic book format and you know, do the storyboarding of it and everything in that way. And man, I pushed out like 7 issues in just a week.
Oh, wow.
In terms of writing.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, and the story came out better than I ever, because I rewrote that thing 20 times easy in the past 8 years. And my wife read it and said, this is it. This is what you need to do.
Stop so, there. Go with that one.
Yeah. So my goal is I want to complete Psychonaut Presents, or at least do a good 5 or 6 issues, enough to maybe do a trade. And then after that, I'm going to tackle that project is my goal.
Well, now, so fiction stuff is not all you've done as well. So how did the world of, I mean, obviously there has to be an attraction to the world of spirituality and stuff like that, but how did the writing in that come to be?
Well, mostly just because, I mean, I have that interest and that kind of influences in all of my work anyway.
So yeah, absolutely.
In my point of view, and I don't try to come across, you know, that world of spirituality and hoodoo, voodoo, and all that stuff in any kind of like weird, pretentious way. But it's more of just, I've always been interested in consciousness, altered states of consciousness, mind expansion, just like messing with the mind and finding out how to like take the red pill and push the limits of reality as much as possible has always been an interest of mine. And so I not really hope, because I don't think I have to try. That's probably an influence in all of my works, whether it's fiction or nonfiction.
Well, I think the 2 points on that is, one, you've never came across, and I'm using obviously vague or broad terms that have always been used. You've never came across as a quote-unquote hippie. Like, that's what people would say. And two, you've peaked in this at the right time. I mean, this is a time in our culture, and I'm not saying everyone, but there's a significant amount of people that are going down that road. And of all people, Joe Rogan, you know, he really pushes that, and guys like Duncan Trussell and all those guys. I mean, there's
my crowd.
Yeah, there's a lot of affluent and fairly famous people that are preaching that, and even people like what's her name, Chelsea Handler. I mean, she's another one that really pushes that idea and stuff, and even filmed her doing MDM on and stuff like that. So it's, and I bring those names up because now it is not, I mean, it's hard to say what is norm or what is mainstream, but it's now more accepted than it's ever been. And there's a stronger push to start doing stuff like that more. So I think what you're doing is, I think people are catching up to you a little bit. You being a normal guy that's also into that stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for not putting me in the camp of hippie, because that would really bother me. I try to bathe and
Well, no, now when we're having a good time and you're drunk, I'm going to call you a hippie just to give you a hard time.
No, that's fine. No. They call me that at work. What's funny is my book is actually featured on a Joe Rogan podcast because you know who Graham Hancock is?
I do.
Okay. So, Graham Hancock, and if you viewers don't know, some would consider him an amateur archaeologist, but some of the findings that he's tried to collect from those out in the field allude to like a culture that existed in the prehistory of what we're used to in the mainstream terms of our understanding of the historical context of our civilization. And he's huge. I mean, he's best-selling author. I mean, he's gigantic. Last April, he actually contacted me and wanted to note me as author of the month for my book, Shamanic Kabbalah. That same month, he was on Joe Rogan, and he pointed Joe Rogan to his website. And like right there, my book is being featured and everything on the Joe Rogan podcast. And I was like, that was my literally 2 seconds.
Yeah, not 15 minutes, but at least 2 seconds.
Yeah, but it was Joe Rogan, so hey.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, that 15 minutes of the old adage, 15 minutes of fame with the world of the internet we're in now, it is, I think, 2 to 5 seconds is all we can ask for at this point in our life.
Yeah, it's too much fame everywhere.
Well, yeah, so that was one of the book. You wrote that book, and it's quite a mouthful of a title. So tell people, though, that real quick, because I feel like we should at least, you know, point it out for people.
Yeah, if you want. So that was... That was from Llewellyn Publishing, which is one of the bigger publishers in like metaphysical books in the nation. So that was a very interesting experience to go through, you know, that book contract scenario and an editor from a traditional publisher and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's basically about God damn, it's always really hard for me to like put it into words, but it uses ancient concepts of like Judaic mysticism and Native American spiritual practices to be able to like expand your mind in various ways, whether you want to call it meditation or whatnot. The Jews call it Kabbalah. You know, Native American indigenous cultures call it shamanism, whatever, but just different practices to be able to kind of like maneuver your consciousness and expand it and push it in different directions in ways that you wouldn't normally be used to. I'm a fan of like always trying to make like my environment as uncomfortable as possible, which my family loves, by the way. But it's because it's just like makes life and reality way more interesting. And so that book for me was almost like if I had to like write, like, because I never wanted to go get my PhD, but if I had to write a dissertation, that was basically it.
Well,
I think a lot of people, I came across that way for a lot of people. Well,
and so, so people that do know, though, because there are some people, and I do have some listeners that I know would be interested, it is Shamanic Kabbalah, or yep. Kabbalah, and then you have a whole lot after that in the title of it, the full title of it. But that they can find that, and Daniel Moeller is a way to look for it at your store, too. There it is.
A mystical path to uniting the tree of life and the great work.
There you go. There you go.
I did not come up with that subtitle. But yeah, it uses the symbol system within Kabbalah that the Jewish rabbis created mm-hmm. over centuries called the Tree of Life, which is basically like a set of symbols that you can use to like meditate on, right? And to do different, it almost like, you know, symbols like Carl Jung talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Symbols being keys, really, that can unlock certain parts of the conscious brain to move into the subconscious part of your brain. And that's why he was very interested in dreams. And that's why he was very interested in mandalas, you know, from the Middle East and from Tibetan Buddhism, because they were symbols that did that. They unlocked these parts of ourselves that we normally weren't aware of. And so the Judaic system, the reason why I kind of settled on that is because it's really precise, man. It's like, it's like the quantum mechanics of spirituality is what I always call it. I had to do years of research to even have a basic understanding of that stuff. So it is out there, and it is really difficult to understand.
Well, before we move to Psychonauts, let's at least what was it like? Because your first book was self-published, and mm-hmm. then that you already just mentioned and alluded to. You worked with a publisher. Was it, did you feel more, I mean, it's hard to say, do you feel more constrained, because you were also writing something that was very, you weren't creating something from nothing. You were writing something that you had to do research and do stuff, but did it, was the overall experience, was it a positive one, or working with an editor, a real professional editor?
I loved it. Awesome. I actually totally, because not only was it probably one of the best learning experiences for me as a writer, and I had a really good editor, because she would not like tear down a part of the text, but propose a scenario for me of, if you're trying to say this, then this would be the better way, but if you're trying to go this route, and she really knew the context. The great thing about Llewellyn, if anybody's out there that is interested in metaphysical publishers, the editors at Llewellyn know their shit. They know things that I couldn't even conceive of. They're very well versed in the material that they published.
Well, and
they don't just grab editors off the street.
Yeah, I imagine you kind of have to be, because you can't let anybody go out there. Because one, the most, for something that's not necessarily the mainstream in spirituality and whatnot, you can't let someone come in and half-ass it and just assume they know what they're talking about, because that's the most dangerous thing for any topic like that, is someone coming out and being proven as a fraud or to make up stuff. So you have to know what you're doing. I mean,
yeah.
So would you entertain the idea of working with a publisher on a fiction side as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I would. I really enjoyed it. Now, I did. Let me go back a little bit, because the publication aspect, the promotional aspect, was so helpful as well.
Yeah.
So, especially for newer authors that they're not used to, they may not be able to give you as much time and resources as some of their more established authors in the publishing house. But still, the opportunities that I had and my network just grew exponentially. And before you knew it, I had people in England that were giving me reviews. And,
oh, that's awesome.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy. And a number of interviews that I had to go through, just was way more than I had ever experienced before. Now, I did sign on with a publisher before them for my book, Machine Elves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which
I didn't realize that one.
Yeah, that was a biography of Terrence McKenna, who was kind of like the Timothy Leary of the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, I'm into that sort of thing. But that actually wasn't a very good experience, because they were not a very well established publishing house. They were just trying to get up off their feet. And I don't think I've ever received a proceed check from them.
Oh,
once.
Wow.
But Llewellyn, I get a proceed check every once in a while. And the great thing about them is, they want to keep their authors, so they've offered me all these other opportunities. So I've had different supplements published in other books of theirs that have come out, and I've got another one I have to work on in the next couple of weeks and get out to them. So, and hanging out with their editors and to all the book conventions that they've sent me to, and getting to know all their other editors, I mean, they know my ideas, and they're pretty much, when you're ready to go again, you send us that manuscript and we'll push that idea out. So,
coming from, or with both of us knowing our someone like you said earlier, who's a very incredible good writer, and Aaron, and the struggles he's had trying to get stuff out there. I mean, I hesitate. I mean, because you worked your butt off, but what a lucky break landing with them. And that's not, I got to think, and I've never published anything, so I'm speaking out of my ass here, but I got to think that's not the normal story. Oh, they're so supportive. They encourage me to work everywhere and do this, and they're ready to go when I'm ready to go. That's awesome.
Yeah. 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 It's not the most typical story, but they're really good people, and they really believe in the material that they published. And that's why I went with them. I was lucky enough to actually have an offer from them and someone else. And because I heard so many good things about them and the way they treat people, I decided to go with them.
Awesome. Well, speaking of not a typical story, let's talk about Psychonauts Presents, Psychonaut Presents. Before we jump into it, because I like that your description of it, for those that want to check it out, we'll tell them how to check it out here in a bit. psychedelic memoir-ish possibilities. That's how you described it.
And you're
pretty straightforward on your website. And give people your website real quick.
Yeah, www.danielmoellerweb.com. Don't go to danielmoeller.com because it's some weird spammy doctor guy trying to sell you weird therapeutic stuff.
And this would be Moeller with one L, so that's important as well, too.
M-O-L-E-R, not A-R.
Yeah, and so, you know, you talk about this book is essentially, it's a comic book, fantastical look at your own consciousness exploration. And your journeys through and talking about shamanism and occultism and all the things you talked about earlier. So what made you at what point did you decide, here's what I want. Did you just sit down like a year or so ago and just really start for people that don't know, and you and I both have fancied ourselves artists a long time ago and then rediscovered it again. Was it that you just sat down and said, you know what, I'm going to give this a go because it's the one of the few things that if you don't do it, you don't know how good you could be at it. I tell people all the time, I tell my wife, if she drew every day, in a year she'd be a decent artist. You have to have that drive, and you can teach yourself to convey your thoughts onto paper. But like you said earlier, if you're not doing it and you're a little self-conscious about it, it's hard to do. So what was it that made you want to start doing it again?
Well, I alluded to a little bit of it earlier, my wife getting me that Joe Kubert
set. Yeah, okay, yeah.
And just the Cartoonist Kayfabe channel. But, it was really my, 41st birthday. We were in the mountains in Colorado, which is one of my favorite places to go. And I don't know what it was. I just sat down one morning and, I was just like, fuck this. Like, why? I just turned 41. And I apologize if there's, I think there's a, it's okay to cuss on your.
Oh, yeah. God. I mean, you and I.
I've listened to a few episodes, but I listened to the one with your daughter in it, and there wasn't a ton.
Well, yeah, that was because she was on there. But you and I mean, obviously, you know, our listeners don't know this, but AC is one of my best friends, and you are AC's best friend. And you and I are, we became friends by extension of that. And I do consider you a friend, but we're not so close as me and AC. But I'm fairly certain you know you can cuss on my goddamn podcast.
Yeah, just checking. Okay. All right. So, I was just sitting there, 41st birthday, mountains. It was early morning, sun was rising, the whole fucking vista in the sky. And I sat down and I immediately, drew the cover.
Yeah.
I just immediately drew the cover. And it poured out of me. I mean, I had the whole thing laid out within a couple hours and I immediately started. And by the time we were on vacation, by the time vacation was done, I had four pages drawn completely. And,
drawn scannable drawings or just
with the text and everything.
Awesome.
And it was a little slower after that, 'cause you know, getting back to real life and everything, but, it just hit me. You know, I'd been through a lot of weird experiences. I mean, my books, whether they're fiction or nonfiction, a lot of it isn't just completely made up. A lot of it's just the different experiences.
Yeah.
Because I've been interested in drugs and psychedelics and mind expansion. And a lot of, you know, I got tired of just recreationally doing this shit. I wanted to go experience the real thing and been to Peru and, have these incredibly authentic experiences. And I don't know how much you've ever experienced or have researched ayahuasca, but that was a mind-blowing fucking experience for me, and I needed to process it because it's you know, it's been a few years, but it's still just you know, it's a thing to process. And I was just like, well, what better fucking way to process it than, you know, to just tear that shit out, and to do it in not a way that's just this is my story.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
To do it in a way of some of my top influences are Robert Crumb, Harvey Pinkar, Bill Griffith,
all those psycho comics from the 60s and 70s, those independent comics,
the underground Art Spiegelman, just, mm-hmm. you know, they weren't,
I'm sure everybody listening knows Crumb. I mean, that's probably the biggest name out of that in terms of mainstream. But yeah, that's great. I mean, awesome stuff. Zap.
If they don't, they need to go out right now and Google the documentary Crumb and watch that shit. That is the
well, even
best.
The movie with Paul Giamatti is a great movie.
Oh yeah, American Splendor.
Yeah,
wonderful. Wonderful. So yeah, but they and to just tell something in that kind of style, that kind of way, which just felt. Not because I was really trying to go for that, but it just felt more real to me and more authentic to me.
Well, it also plays into your childhood. I mean, I think there's a reason it's authentic is because, and that's something I wanted to ask you too. You spoke about your influence, but we're definitely children of the funny pages, the comic book. I mean, you know, and it's just because we grew up reading X-Men and JLA and superhero stuff doesn't mean that that's always where it takes you. I mean, because, and I'm speaking for you, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, because one of the things that bonds guys like me, you and AC, and even like we spoke about Josh Roberts earlier, former owner of the Comics Cave in Springfield, and then Dusty, our good friend Dusty, a significant amount of us all started in the same spot, and then I would almost bet that whether or not it was wasn't necessarily at the same time year-wise, but at the same points in our lives, we all discovered guys like Neil Gaiman and Warren Ellis, and I don't want to go into that right now, but, you know, all those Alan Moore, all those names, and that's where you came from. So to tell your story in comic book form, it is different. But if you were to ask me if all of our group of friends wrote a memoir and then said, oh, by the way, they're releasing as a comic, I can tell you about five or six of us, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that story checks out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so natural. I listen to interviews with different comic artists all the time, you know, in kayfabe.
All those shoot interviews they do, which are awesome.
The shoot interviews, and there's always like, what's your process? And for me, it's just like, God, it seems so natural. Like if somebody was to ask me, like, what's your process of like creating a comic book? You know, I don't have to go through all these steps to lay something out or whatever. And maybe I could probably be more creative with it. And, you know, that'll take time, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you always have like your first, you know, who is it that said that you like your first 1,000 pages are going to be shit, you know? So you might as well just get it out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sure it's something that you don't care too much about if you're trying to be perfect. But I like watching that evolution. I mean, some of the artists that I love following, I love watching how they've grown and developed mm-hmm. over time. You know, like Eddie Campbell and, well, even Crumb himself. Like, if you look at his earlier shit and the way he evolved. But yeah, I like watching that evolution grow. So, I at a certain point, and it's probably just because I've become, you know, a saucy old man at this point, but I don't care about showing my dirty underwear anymore.
Yeah.
It's just,
well, there's also the thing about how you talked about how the story flowed out of you. And there also is something about how your first story, you're just, at this point, you're just throwing up pages. You're vomiting pages out. They're coming out so fast. And you almost don't have time to be self-aware because you have this story that you want out and it's coming out. And maybe down the road, your process will be greatly different because you'll be searching. You'll have that one day you're going to run into that artist block as well as that writer's block. And then you'll have to effort to get it out. And then you'll create a new process for yourself. But right now it's coming out so easy. Now, I don't want to necessarily go into your process, but I do want to talk a little bit about you're doing traditional pencil and pen on paper and scanning it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going, and you're inking it before scanning?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And then you're going into Photoshop, I'm assuming, and cleaning up and adding colors.
The program I use is Krita because it's free.
Oh, what was the name of it?
Krita. And I think it was Dusty.
Most likely.
It turned me onto that, but I use that to like. To really bolden the lines because when it rescans something, you're always going to have a bit of. A's and Mothervine does have a little bit of color. I did some shading with color, but I've always been really hesitant with it. But my next issue of Psychonaut Presents, which will be called Dark Medicine, is I'm kind of almost going full color on that. So I'm giving it a shot with that one. So it may take a little longer to color, but I'm really excited about it. I think I found a palette that I can really work with. And again, it's when people are going to be reading Psychonaut Presents, they're going to be watching my process flow and me basically going through the Kubert school myself of just learning this
and evolving. And yeah.
Yeah. However it flows out is however it flows out.
We'd be remiss if we didn't give a shout out to where your Psychonaut Presents, number one, is definitely your first comic book. But it wasn't the first place that your work has debuted. Let's at least call attention to where you first popped up in. In Wizard with an E?
Yeah, Wizard with an E.
Yeah.
So, that's an awesome fanzine that was actually created by the cartoonist kayfabe community. The editor is Eli Schwab, and it's you were a comic collector in the 90s. It's a total throwback to, you know, the Wizard of the 1990s, but it's all full of just indie comic creators, comics, articles, and it's a thick sucker.
It is,
it's huge. Magazine size is like incredible. It's 10 times better than any of their original Wizards if you go back and read them now. But back then they were amazing.
Oh, the original Wizards before they went full color, and those were my favorite, man. Those were those my favorite thing. Before, I feel like we could, I feel like Wizard Magazine did a lot to hurt the comic industry, that, and they didn't do it intentionally. But there was a time before they were so mega influential when they did, I believe, honestly love comics. I miss those days.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, that was right when everything was rising and everything was looking rosy and beautiful.
Yeah.
And then the crash came.
Yeah.
But I was actually listening. I think I was on a different podcast I was listening to the other day. You do a lot of listening to podcasts while you draw.
Right.
Apparently Wizard even got so big in the market, it had even overtaken Marvel and DC at that point. It had gotten so big, so it was like the number one book
comic publication, essentially. Yeah and they had to take the price guide out because they were hurting the pricing industry. They were really setting with their top 10 hottest books, or is this book better, they were hurting books. They were like, oh yeah. People would flock to whatever the top 10 books for Wizard said it was. And it was insane. But that's,
gotta pay for your kids' college, man.
Yeah, and that says more to speculative buying and you know, people that aren't really in it, honestly. You know, for guys like us who read every single thing you could get their hands on, it still had some value. I tell you what, those last couple years, though, reading some of those issues, going back and look at those are painful. How hip they got. And stuff like that, and some of the writing in it, you were like, oh boy, who's running this thing anymore?
I think I quit before those final years. If I didn't, I just do not remember. Maybe I blocked it out. But
oh, I bought them after the fact.
It was starting to get so bad, you know.
Like, I bought them a few years ago. Just somebody had a box of them at some Toy Man toy show or something up here in St. Louis. I'm like, yeah, that's that. You know what? $5 for 30 of those issues, and I can just spend a day. That's worth it. Maybe I'll get some good art out of it. But what didn't even get good toilet paper out of it? It was badly written stuff. I think real editors had left, and it was just people that were probably getting overpaid and. I don't know. Just it's a sad story because of how big it was. And then, you know, then they turned into a Wizard World, which Wizard World, when it first started, was so awesome. But when they became a show only, a comic convention only, even that kind of sucks in certain areas now. Because I can tell you, the one here in St. Louis is awful. It is awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
But, and it doesn't compare to local owned, local ran show Planet Comic Con in Kansas City. And I guess that's a good segue to my next question about where your comic book stuff taking you. You've talked about conventions with your the shamanism and stuff like that, but what about comic book stuff? Is that in the future, assuming COVID lets us go back to the real world one day?
Yes. I've thought about it, and I know I've had many people try to push me in that direction. Definitely this year I wasn't even going to attempt it, but I think next year I might give it a shot.
I know a guy that might split a booth with you.
Really?
And he probably would want to try to sell his books, but I'm sure he would do it.
Yeah, we've had that conversation.
And it would
Totally do that. That would be a dream come true for me, to be sitting next to my best friend selling our stuff at Comic-Con. That, yeah, bucket list check.
Yeah.
You can kill me now.
And it'd make me happy because with no longer have Josh Roberts having necessarily having boots at every show, I'd have somewhere to put my stuff when I was walking around.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. We'll have a nice little storage bin.
That's right. That's right. So you mentioned 5 or 6 issues enough for a trade. Is that where you envision this? I mean, is this a finite story, this one?
No. So my original idea of this was like anthology-based, like Marvel Comics
okay.
Presents. So the next issue especially is going to have like a few different stories in it. And by issue 3, there's going to be like 3 or 4 different stories rather than just 1 or 2. And some of them, that one main one, or at least 2, will run the gamut of the rest of the series. And I want to feature, you know, different galleries of art. There's a piece by...
Yourself
that I would love to feature in the issue as well as a gallery piece. That wonderful drawing that you did, because you're an incredible artist too.
Thanks, man.
It's gonna feature like 3 or 4 different stories for the rest of the gamut. The first issue was really the only one finite story.
Okay.
We'll see how that plays out. I'm really trying to just play this an issue at a time and not try to be too diligent about how it's going to look. I'm thinking 5 or 6 issues, but we'll see once we get to issue 5.
I've got good friends that I met just because of the podcast here, Jim Ousley and Benjamin Sawyer. And if you've never checked out their stuff, they did a comic book called they originally did one called Dead Palace, which is an anthology book. Before that was Rough and Tumble, a bunch of short stories. And now they have a character that spun out of Dead Palace called the Butcher Queen. And they've came on and talked about that.
Listened to your podcast on that, yeah.
And so one thing that I think is very cool is that Ben, who is, he's far ahead of where I am, I as an artist, because he does it all the time every day. He's very good. He's very good at sequential storytelling. And But going to back what you talked about, not really caring about what it looks like, obviously – you care a little bit because you're putting it on paper, but I understand what you're saying. But what's cool is like what Ben's doing is the trade paperback of the first Butcher Queen comes out in September, and he's went back and redone pages because he's a better artist now. So the trade paperback, it's still the same story, but he now knows how to draw more dynamic angles and things of that nature, and his shading techniques have gotten better. So there's always that too. You could always go back and make it better. Like you could be flipping through before that trade paperback comes out and go, you know what? I can do that panel better.
Yeah, there's a few panels already that I've seen in issue 1 that I think I could probably redo. Okay. I mean, I agree with you. I say I don't care how it looks, but my goal is every single drawing is always got to be better than the last one.
Right.
Because you want to improve. So, yeah, I definitely, there's some panels that I've created in issue 2. That I'm so proud of, and I go back and look at issue 1, and it's so tough because right now I got to be selling issue 1.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But to go back and look at some of this, I was like, "Ooh, I was just learning," you know, to use the brushes and the nibs at that point. But whatever.
And I certainly don't think it come off. What you just said doesn't come off as conceit, but I do want people to understand what you mean when you say that, because as a guy who is an artist, I think that's probably one of the best things soundbites people could take from this is we're not saying our goal is to ever be the greatest artist in the world, but our goal is to always be better than we were before. That's absolutely all you can ask for out of yourself in anything.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect way of saying it. Now, you did talk about selling it. I did want to ask you about how the relationship or how the choice of Indie Planet came from. And as a guy who may or may not be starting to draw something that I haven't talked about, you're the only one that's heard about it, one other guy has heard about it, but what's that process and how'd that come about?
It was really tough with where the comic book market is right now, of trying to find the right place to land my particular content genre material. I don't know where to fit it.
Yeah, you want to find a place that's going to serve the biggest audience that would enjoy the things that you're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, Image is not really the right, although I made submission to them. Fantagraphics, I thought possibly is good. I sent a
That's awesome. That would be awesome. That'd be like a childhood thing, man.
That would be incredible. Yeah. But, you know, I haven't heard back, you know, and the COVID happened when I, you know, right around that time. So I asked around. I, you know, more so than ever, I'm involved in all of these other communities of comic creators, and my network of creators is just feels astounding to me. I think they're all amazing and they're very supportive. And so I just totally asked around, and the one that came up the most that people seem to be happy with, if I just wanted to go straight print on demand and not have to worry about printing myself, was Kablam, which is a subsidiary of Indie Planet. I thought about Amazon, because Amazon's another big one. That's where I did my first book, was on Amazon. I just wanted to try something different. I wanted to see what the result was. I got maybe one proceed check from Amazon, and I'm not sure I can trust, you know, I don't know their algorithms, and I don't know their sales report.
And you don't,
Indie Planet,
yeah,
every time I make a sale, I get an email for every single sale. They automatically shoot me that. So I can track my own sales report if I want to. So it's really cool to watch. And they made it easy as hell, and they're very responsive.
Now, you have to realize, you know, with Amazon, you're at the mercy of the largest retailer in the galaxy, not just the planet. I mean, they're massive. So it's kind of like when a creator takes a new show to Netflix, you just have to trust that it's doing well. You don't know, you know. And I will say, I will give props too, and I'll look at them and research them too, because the paper quality and everything they do is awesome, and the price is great.
It's incredible. Yeah, it's wonderful. And like I said, they're really responsive. And I feel like if you've built up enough of a network yourself, I mean, what do you even need Amazon for? Because that's just like a drop in the ocean, you know, because you're kind of relying on yourself as a creator anyway in this market. If they can push out a really nice product, and that was really the selling point. I was giving them a shot, and then I ordered, advanced copies just to see what it was like. And as soon as I had it in my hand, I just knew. I was like, okay, this is good. Like even there's like a sheen.
Oh, man. It's the carton. Speaking of Wizard Magazine, the stock of the cover is awesome. I mean, it's a great quality.
I'm really happy with it. So, and I've actually ordered from a few other creators. They don't have a great, they got a great quantity of creators on there, but not a lot of great quality. But I have ordered from some others on there, and they're really good. I'm giving that a shot. We'll see how it goes. You have full rights, which of course is important to me.
Exactly.
As a creator. So,
I
didn't want to have to go through Amazon with that again.
And going back to mentioning my friends Usley and Sawyer, I mean, it wasn't like this was overnight. They've efforted as a team for 10 years trying to get into the comic books industry. And they found a home at Red 5 who has been super supportive, who's been like really helped them with their Kickstarter and push stuff, and have said, hey, when you're ready for the next book, do the next book. We're here. We're going to help. This is how much we're going to dedicate to it. You grow, I mean, you know, they're one of those companies too that have a small bit of titles that here and there, they don't go crazy, but seem very supportive. And I can tell you, those two guys said in this whole coronavirus world we live in have been super great to them. I mean, that's a good thing, you know.
I'll look them up. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I remember them from Free Comic Book Days and things like that. Like, oh, this art looks cool. I'll read the story. And it hit or miss whether it was good or not, you know. But that's kind of what happens when you let people control their own stuff. Let them sink or swim. And by God, if they do swim, it's a pretty beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's totally, yeah.
Now, you talked about, well, obviously you've got the story. I'm going to assume the stories for the most part for these six, you've got them pretty much in your head or on paper at some point. Mm-hmm. And if you got guys like AC helping to add or adding content and stuff too, so that helps fill some pages, which I can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yes,
well, first, before I ask that question, the question I was going to, when will the second issue be ready to order?
I'm hoping by fall. That's my goal.
So you're going to try quarterly? Is that kind of the...
you're not going to... No, you can't hold me to that.
No.
We'll see. Well, honestly, the way things are rolling out, I mean, I'm like you. I'm a family man. I have three teenagers and a full-time job. And so... I made a commitment to myself to not hold myself to any kind of real schedule like that, because as soon as I do, I just start feeling really constrained and I feel bad. And
yeah,
I'm thinking it's going to be like every, because the next issue isn't going to be a full 36 pages.
Well, that's the other thing. This is a bulky book for your first book. Yeah, that's a lot of content.
Yeah. First issue, so it was a little bit bigger. But it's going to be kind of, 24 pages, the next one.
Which is pretty standard, 20 to 24 pages.
Easier to manage, and especially if I'm kind of sharing a little bit of material with people, and if I can maybe get another artist or two to do like a gallery kind of thing, like what you did, that fills in some more page space. So maybe, you know, two times a year. And if it goes faster than that, then awesome. But yeah, I can't make any promises.
No. And well, it's funny too, because we talked a little earlier, about the joys of working with a professional editor. Sometimes I feel like also, when working with someone like that and having yourself a deadline can be helpful. And then there's sometimes that having a deadline, like you talk, can go the other direction. I guess the thing is you got to find the balance, you know?
Yeah. Well, if I have someone that I'm beholden to, like a professional editor from the company that is going to publish, you know, it is good for me.
Yeah.
It forces me to be a little bit more diligent. But, you know, to be honest with my process in the past year with Psychonaut Presents, I've been pretty damn diligent. I mean, almost all my spare time has been towards the creation of this. It's just I don't have a whole lot of it.
Well, how has this shelter at home, lockdown, whatever we want to call it, how's that helped the whole output?
Well, the kids are being homeschooled, so it's for those artists that I know that don't have kids, I mean, they're flying.
Yeah.
They're,
I hate to keep mentioning, and I'll tag them in this when I talk, but both Sawyer and Oosley said, it's amazing how much we're putting out, because Oosley has grown kids and Sawyer's not, doesn't have any. So they're both like going crazy. Like that must be a rough life. I can tell you,
really.
I don't have that luxury.
Not
only do I have the two kids, but both of my kids are very, not just into sports, but are very into sports at a high level that keeps me super busy. And then I myself still play sports. I'm 42 holding on to this life that is long past me. I still play volleyball with the wife on one night and softball with some friends, AKA I drink heavily two nights a week. You talked about the thing, and this is not, you know, again, I don't have to explain this to you, but I want to explain it to everybody else, because you as an artist knows that there is also no conceit in what I'm about to say. It's just how much happy we are. And I've told you this privately, that you've been a big inspiration seeing you put out stuff for me. It's allowed me to, it's really kickstarted me wanting to get back to doing it. And then AC learning to draw for the first time. It's so cute in his old age,
it's
learning
awesome.
To draw, but it's really inspired me. So anytime, and any topic, or if you have an idea of you want to see something and you say, hey, I've got a gallery piece, I have a spot for you, let me know. I'll do it. I'll put something together always.
Yeah, I would love that. I think that's the great thing about the indie comic community right now, because I tried to like dip my toe in the waters back in when I first moved to KC. It was like right after 9/11, so 2001, 2002. It wasn't as friendly, the independent comic community, but now... It's just, it may be because we're all older, I don't know, but everybody's just so fucking supportive. Nobody's in competition with one another or trying to step on one another.
Well, you know what the difference is? The difference is being able to publish and get your content out there easier now than then. Then you were fighting for print pages and you were backstabbing in order to get better ranking than someone else. It's a different world.
Yeah, it is a totally different world. It's just really nice to be... And with a group of people that we're all like vying for each other's success, because we want to like read cool shit too, because like mainstream comics, there's some good stuff, but for the most part, it's like it's not exciting. So the you big have to two rely have on other been people to make cool shit.
The big two have been spinning their wheels for a few years now. I mean,
oh,
it's
my Lord.
But you know what? And when you brought up that, it kind of made me blank on what I was going to say. It was something about what you were talking about. It's almost like it is a great community. Oh, I know what I was going to say is that, you know, also we, especially at our age, not that we're the oldest guys in the world, but guys in their 40s, we grew up for the most part, most of our lives still could be said pre-internet. I mean, for, you know, it wasn't until our 20s, mid-20s, till the internet became a real thing. So we grew up believing that the pie was very small and you had to fight your ass off for it. But now we know the pie is infinite, and there is, if there is something that you're into and you like, there's at least a million other people that are also into it. So there's so much room for so much success, and with so many outlets, even other than print, into the TV and all that stuff, you can find a home. And you can, if put it this way, you and I being friends, if you made became a millionaire selling Psychonauts somewhere, and I came a millionaire doing crime books anywhere, it would not be taken from each other. But back in the 90s, we would think that, man, we both come from Missouri, we're kind of stealing each other's thunder. That's the way people looked at it. But it's not the case anymore. Now we know we And by the way, the only way, not that fame is the overall outcome, but getting your vision or your creation to as many eyes as possible is a pretty cool thing. Mm-hmm. That happens because everybody's pulling for each other. Everybody's supporting each other. You're coming on my podcast. You've been on other podcasts. Things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I everything you said, I completely agree with.
Well, what's so you've got... You've got the issues coming up, and we're sitting here at about an hour, which is kind of typically where, you know, I try to keep it, unless I get a feeling that the first episode where my co-hosts come back in studio, we've already said we're going to do it on a Saturday, and we're going to get really shit-faced, start fresh with no script, and see what happens. That's going to be like a four-hour episode. But what's next for Daniel Moeller? You've got, after the book, or I'm sorry, this comic book, you've got the other book that you've not finished. And then I'm going to assume at some point the itch to go back to the spirituality stuff is going to be there because you do have a great publisher. So what, where's Moeller going to be in the next couple years in creativity?
Well, definitely. Yes. Psychonaut Presents. Now this book I'm working on, I'm actually going to be previewing like a prequel to this book in Psychonaut Presents.
So that's great.
Two and three and four. So, you'll get to see a little bit of that, and I don't want to throw the names out there yet because I'm just holding it so close to my chest. It's very exciting. But yeah, my goal is to hopefully have a long running series of this next book, have it out. And I would love to find like a publisher to land it at, like Fantagraphics or Image or whoever. Yeah, let's see, because I would like to have that kind of promotional backing for it as well.
Good
I would
news,
like it to be out.
And the good news is you're creating your own resume and your own calling card as you go with this stuff and with your other stuff you've
That's
done.
That's exactly what you're doing with everything you're putting out there. You're creating your own resume. So we'll see about the, you know, spiritual stuff and getting back to like regular books. I'm not so sure. I mean, I have other things I'm working on. Llewellyn that has a couple of like anthologies that they put out every year, and I have little supplements in those.
That kind of scratches that itch for you.
With them. Yeah, it kind of scratches that itch. What's really cool is I've had a few people come to me asking not only for endorsements for their books in that world, but I've also had a person just come to me that wants me to write a foreword.
Oh, wow.
For their book and their tarot deck that accompanies it, which...
No,
is like that feels more
odd.
Accomplished than
that's
writing
odd.
A book,
and that's odd in a good way. I mean, and I'm a guy that has been a groomsman and or best man 14 times in my life, and I've given plenty of toasts, and I kind of like it. I've one of my bucket lists one day is to do. And by the way, I'm going to say this, and knowing friends like Hal Powell and AC and everyone, I'm not inviting anyone, but one of my bucket lists is to do an open mic night just to see what it's like. But that feels scarier than those things. Like, doing a forward in someone else's book, to me, sounds a lot scarier than those other things.
It's intense. When I first, you know, when she first approached me with it, I was like, oh, cool. And then when we had the conversation, I was like, oh, shit.
This is for real. That means she respects you, which is scary, because that means there's a lot of expectations that comes with that, and
you gotta write something cool.
Yeah, because people, I tell you this, I can I'm speaking from comic books in particular, I can read a great trade paperback and be turned off by the forward in it. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can turn off the audience.
Yeah.
So it's up to you on whether they stay or they leave. So. Yeah, I accepted the assignment.
Well, that's exciting.
But I'm actually, we're getting ready to go on like a camping trip, and I've printed out the whole thing, and I'm going to sit with that sucker out in the woods in the tent and just like, okay.
Well, but knowing you, that
this shit, man, you can do it.
That's a good place for you to find your inspiration, though. That's what, it's happened for you before.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love that you put me out in the woods and with even just nothing but me and my blue jeans, and I'm good. I'm happy.
Now, as we wrap this up, let's let everyone know where they can find you, the book Psychonaut Presents, other books and that thing. There's your website, of course, which you referenced earlier, which is Daniel Moeller with one L and an E, web.com. You can find everything there. You can go to Indie Planet. IndiePlanet.com. You are also on the Twitters and the Instagrams and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't really keep up with Twitter as much as I probably should. But yeah. Instagram and Facebook, you can find me at Daniel Moeller Web there. And I'm a little bit more active there than anywhere else. I have an Amazon page as well. So an Amazon author page. You can find most of my works there, but Psychonaut Presents is not going to be available there. It's available exclusively on Indie Planet.
And as a friend of Daniel, I can tell you guys this. It's also cool to follow him on Instagram because you do get to see these panels. And for me, one of my favorite things, one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram is Arthur Adams.
Oh, yes.
Because he's so fun. I told my description of him to Dusty was he's a human line correction tool, because I don't think he's ever done a bad line in ink. It doesn't make sense. He's the most precise.
Perfect. Yeah, he's a machine.
Yeah, I grew up loving his art. I kind of hate him right now, watching him, especially this whole Spider-Man cover he recently just did. It pisses me off. But yeah. Well,
his textures are just amazing. His textures kill me. They're just so beautiful.
And that's the good thing about Instagram for artists. And and that brings me back to you, is you can see some of the stuff for that Daniel's working on, and even some of his other drawings and his sketches and things like that. So it's a really good spot. I suggest checking out his website and particularly his Instagram. So it's a great place. Anything else you want to talk about other than we both plugged AC earlier? So that's worth it. And you can always check him out. Is I believe he's, what's his website?
AaronConaway.me, is that
something like that? I don't know. You can find him on Facebook as Aaron Conaway Author on Facebook. Yes. You can find him there, and that's a good spot.
Look him up; he'll come up.
Yeah, and on Amazon,
definitely worth it checking out.
Anything else you got, my man?
I don't think so. I think we've covered all of the basics. So definitely, whenever you have one of those podcast with all your hosts together and you guys are kind of drinking in the night, I hope to be present for that someday.
Oh, man, I tell you this, and that's a good point. I did have, actually, I do type out scripts for those that don't believe it, of things I want to hit on. That's one of the last things I said. I will not be at Planet, if there's a Planet this year. I don't even know if they're going to do it in August or not. Instead, I will be on vacation with the family. But when travel becomes a regular thing, I'm bringing all the equipment with me, and we'll do a podcast, me, you, and AC, maybe Dusty if he wants.
And
we won't go in with an agenda to promote anything. Let's just see what comes out. And
beautiful.
And I've got a bunch of bourbons behind me. I can bring some good stuff, whatever we need. So
that's another bucket list item right there.
So I'm going to go ahead and bring this in. I appreciate you coming on, giving me the time. I've been looking forward to this. I know we tried to do it yesterday, but real life got in the way. I think today actually was a better day for it anyway, because it allowed me to to collect a little few thoughts that I wanted to get together, and I haven't talked to you in a long time, man.
Yeah,
I'm glad
it's
we
been
have
awesome.
Glad we had a good reason to talk about it. I do want to ask you one more thing after I hit stop here, but I'm going to say okay. Bye, and I'm going to play the music for everybody that's listening at home.